This is A Little Day Music. I'm Kevin Sanders, and welcome in. You know, occasionally Friday afternoons, we like to take a moment to talk to some people who are active in the cultural arts community in the area, and this afternoon will be no exception. So, who do we have in the studio with us today?
My name is Isaac Malamed. I'm the cellist.
My name is Evelyn Grell. I'm the violist.
I'm Teresa Ling, the violinist.
And I'm Jeanette Fang, the pianist.
And you are collectively the Garth Newell Piano Quartet. So, who's the leader?
Evelyn.
This is a democracy.
Teresa.
Evelyn has seniority. So.
Yeah.
Okay. When she makes a decision, you know, it's nothing the rest of us can
the
do.
The foot comes down.
Who here has been with the Garth Newell Piano Quartet the longest?
Well, she's the original member.
Well, yeah,
so
I
what,
guess.
Give me the origins.
Of this quartet?
Mm-hmm.
This incarnation? I came here way back when the founding directors were still performing at Garth Newell Music Center. And then when they retired, or maybe shortly before they retired, Teresa came on board. And that was, I think, 1999? Is that correct?
98.
Oh, my. See? My memory is failing
It
me
seems
already.
So short, but oh much longer.
So, 98. Yes, Teresa came. We lured her here. It was wonderful. And then Isaac came to us.
2014?
I was going to say 5 years ago. Is it 4 years ago then?
2014. Right?
I've
been here for a little over 3 years, so maybe three and
oh,
a half
okay.
Years.
All right. So. And then Jeanette is the newest kid on the block.
Yeah, I'm the baby, even though I'm older than Isaac.
But you've been with us now. You're starting your third year.
I think so. Yeah, I just finished two complete years.
Two full years.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. And what's the first piece you're going to perform for us today?
We are beginning with Brahms's third piano quartet in C minor, opus 60.
Okay. And who decides what music you play?
Evelyn.
No.
This is the story I think
it's a total democracy. We all work on the programming together, and I like to refer to it as a four-headed monster, because we, you know, you negotiate and you throw in ideas and throw out ideas, and
it's a long process.
Yeah,
like
but a fun
birth.
Process.
Uh huh. A long and painful birth.
Now, do you all have set times that you rehearse, or is it just when everybody can get together, or is there a particular time?
As much as possible. Right?
I'd say we have fairly set times to rehearse.
Yeah, I mean, we all live relatively close to the center, so we all come together, you know, most days to rehearse at Garth Newell.
Yeah.
And one great thing about what we do at Garth Newell is we hire a lot of guest artists to come play with us because we're a piano quartet, which is one combination of instruments, but maybe we'll hire a violinist and play string quartets and piano quintets, or we'll hire a clarinetist and play works with clarinet. So then we base our rehearsal schedules around when our guest musicians are available to come. So maybe the week preceding our concerts, we'll rehearse.
Yeah.
But for our piano quartet pieces, with just the four of us, we have more flexibility throughout the year to prepare works.
So I guess if you're ready, we're going to hear Brahms' piano quartet in C minor.
Yes.
Correct. It'll just be the first three movements.
That was the first, second, and third movements of Johannes Brahms' Piano Quartet in C minor, Opus 60, performed by the Garth Newell Piano Quartet here in our studios at WVTF. glad to have you in the studio, and let's find out a little bit about the quartet. I'll start with you, Isaac. What attracted you to the cello? Was it anything in particular? Or
Well, my older brother, a violist, an amateur violist, he studied when I was a little kid, and he played in the San Francisco Youth Symphony. I'm from San Francisco. So I used to go to his concerts, and I used to love watching the orchestra play. I took a particular affinity to the string section, probably because he was a string player, but I also knew I wanted to play an instrument that was bigger than his instrument. Hence, I settled on the cello. The reasons had nothing to do with the sound or the beauty of the sound. And in hindsight, I feel very fortunate that I stumbled upon the most beautiful instrument out there.
And you get to sit down while you play.
Yeah, but sometimes I wish I could stand.
Okay.
Because there, you can be so Baroque active cello. Standing up.
So, Jeanette, you're the pianist for the group. What's your history?
My parents tried to get me to do other things than music. It's kind of not a very practical career in some people's eyes. But my mom's a piano teacher, so I was kind of surrounded by piano music. And the story I'm told is that when I was young, I would start playing what my mom's students were playing during lessons. And so my mom kind of rolled her eyes and was like, well, I guess I have to tell her how to do it right. So she started kind of teaching me a little bit. But and so I just kind of stuck with piano because I felt comfortable with it. Like, I felt like that was the one place I was not self-conscious, not shy, not anything that... In the rest of my life, I was very insecure. And I think piano was kind of my outlet that helped me a lot. So,
our violinist, Teresa, same question.
Well, I actually started at a very young age playing the piano. My mother insists that I was two, but I find that hard to believe. And when I was in about fourth or fifth grade, I decided to pick up the violin because my older sister had a three-quarter size that she wasn't playing anymore. And so she kind of showed me how to play it, and I started playing some tunes. And actually, speaking of cellos, I had always wanted to play the cello.
But naturally.
Of course. But my mother didn't want to see me drag that big instrument around, so I stuck with the violin. And I just loved playing in groups, in chamber music, in orchestra. It was a much more social instrument to me than the piano.
It's
Sorry,
true.
Jeanette.
It is true, yeah.
So that's the one I stuck with over time.
Which brings us to the viola. And Evelyn, can you guess my question?
Yes. And it's interesting how the family is somehow responsible, or someone in the family is for all of us. Because for me, it's similar in that my mother was a very amateur violinist. And so when I was a little girl, she would take me with her to the little fledgling community orchestra in the town I grew up in and sit me in the back of the hall while the rehearsal went on. So I was just surrounded by music. And so I guess once I realized what was going on or what they were doing, I I wanted to play violin just like my mother. So I did start violin lessons and then switched to viola during college.
Now, you've all put a lot of effort and work, I'm sure, into your performances and on building your own individual careers and abilities. And then people watch you, just all of a sudden perform with your instruments, just this intricate, beautiful music. And it really looks like it's easy. You do it with such grace.
I wish they would realize the amount of work that goes into becoming a musician. Because it's funny. We still get questions, I think, or I do, being a performer at Garth Newell all the time. And they say, well, it's great. You just finished your summer season. What do you do the rest of the year?
Or what's your day job?
Or yeah, I've had people tell me that, oh, it's so sweet. You play an instrument, and what do you do in real life? They have no concept of the amount of work and the dedication, of course. But it's like being an athlete as well. All these small muscle skills that have to be kept in shape
and large muscles.
Yeah, large muscles as well. And
just, yeah, the amount of time that you spend by yourself in a practice room or in your home learning your craft, developing your skills or whatever. I mean, we love what we do, but there's so much work involved in it as well that I think it's sort of lost from the stage somehow. But that's fine. I mean, if people enjoy music, that's the main thing.
Teresa, can you tell us a bit about what your experience has been like working with Garth Newell, playing with the Garth Newell Piano Quartet?
Well, I guess I would say that my experience at Garth Newell is, I find it to be an utterly unique position because I've never known another place quite like it. And I think it's true for anybody who comes there, whether you're a listener or whether you're a guest artist or one of the resident musicians, it's kind of a Shangri-La. You won't find it anywhere else. And the opportunity to be able to play music that we love, chamber music with people that you really appreciate playing with, and to have the opportunity to meet all sorts of people who come to this place. And I think one big, big bonus is that we have an amazing chef mm-hmm. at Garth Newell who cooks for everybody after the concerts. And it's an absolutely unique experience with the beauty of the place. And I think you just have to be there to experience it, to know what it's like.
So Jeanette, what are your thoughts on performing with the Garth Newell Quartet and performances in general?
Well, I have a couple thoughts, but one of them I kind of wanted to say to, I guess, people at large is that don't be afraid of classical music. I think that a lot of people are kind of under the impression that it's not really for them, and that they maybe didn't grow up learning about it or didn't have lessons. And I think that the main point of playing music is to communicate. And I think that anybody can understand the essence of classical music. It gets to the heart. It gets to things that are kind of elemental. And everybody can understand emotions. Everyone can understand catharsis. Everyone can understand how to connect to people. And I think that's really the point of why we do what we do. And I think that it's a shame if somebody is kept away from a concert from fear of being like not educated enough, or if they just like think that it's a certain type of music and they haven't actually experienced it, you know, like the box set of Mozart for bedtime or something like that, you know. So I think that that's the main thing that I think Garth Newell does, that I think I'm lucky to discover Garth Newell, is that it's a very casual and yet friendly and high quality atmosphere. And so everyone is welcomed. Nobody is kind of treated like a separate audience member. Everyone's kind of welcomed like a family. And then we get to know them on a very sort of friend to friend level. And I think that that's kind of the point of music, is you get to know somebody more than you would on like sort of superficial level. And so I think Garth Newell enhances that with what they are and what they do. So, yeah, that's my thoughts.
Isaac, what are your thoughts?
Just the act of playing in small, intimate groups of maybe 2, 3, 4, 5 players, as opposed to, say, maybe a symphony orchestra. And this is absolutely no knock on orchestras. I've always loved the orchestra repertoire, and I've always loved playing in orchestra. But I think it wasn't until I actually came to Garth Newell and immersed myself completely, 100% in chamber music, that it really hit me how incredible chamber music is. Just the fact that the four of us, and when we bring various guest artists, them too, we're all sort of in this equally, and we're in it together, and we're creating something as a complete democracy, and we're all solo instruments, and yet we're all one entity together. And just the combination of all that, and coupled with the intimacy that we can share with the audience, because the audience is right there with us, it's just such an incredible experience. And I think I've noticed a lot of people kind of sometimes associate the best classical music with the big orchestras. You know, you've got your New York Philharmonic, your San Francisco Symphony, and that's where the best classical music is. And people don't necessarily know as much about chamber groups and quartets and things like that. And when people actually come to a place like Garth Newell, or you see a great traveling quartet, I think you really start to realize what an incredible thing it is. So just wanted to shed a little light on that. And I also wanted to take 1 second to clarify something about traveling with a cello. Yes, we do have to buy a ticket on an airplane. And yes, it's annoying. And I wish we didn't have to, but we do. That's for all the airlines who never know why, what I'm doing.
It's not a body in
seat. And for all the people who wonder, yeah, I've got to buy a ticket. Otherwise, they'll crush my instrument.
I've got one kind of very general question, and this goes out to this is anybody can answer this one. How would you define chamber music? Anybody?
I think that chamber music is sort of defined, in my opinion, by understanding, and because you go to a symphony and you hear sort of a coalesced interpretation that is kind of imposed on them by a conductor or a maestro, I think that chamber music shows how four different ideas have come together and kind of created a mega idea that supersedes just four individual points of view and kind of encompasses all of them, and therefore is more meaningful because it reaches more than just one narrow viewpoint. It actually shows understanding, and then therefore it shows understanding to a greater amount of people. So I think that chamber music is sort of like a beautiful combination of that.
Now, with chamber music, you don't have a conductor, so how do you know when to do what?
Sometimes we don't.
Sometimes we don't, yeah. I mean, a lot is communicated in sort of the violin teacher cues, and a lot is communicated in that very subtle cue.
Yeah, I mean, for an orchestra, you have a conductor, and for those of us who are also playing while trying to conduct one another, there are little ways in which you can communicate to your colleagues, and, you know, for some people, you know, they raise an eyebrow, and other people, you know, sort of show emotion with their bow. Mm-hmm. And so there are ways to indicate a tempo, you know, without having to have a baton in your hand.
Yeah. And thankfully, none of you guys are robotic in your movements, and therefore it's easy to understand expression.
And not only visually, but aurally. Listening, I mean, just the fact that we have to know everyone else's part as well as we know our own part. So there's no guessing in terms of what's happening with our colleagues. We know how we fit with them, how we blend with them, how we come apart from them, how we...
how you set something up and...
Exactly, yeah.
Actually, there's a funny story about that. Because one would assume you need visual cues to be together, but we had a couple of times where we had to play in venues in which I could not see any of them and they couldn't see me. And I kind of realized that you don't always need to see someone to be together with them. Like, you can go by with how they leave a note or how things are tempo-wise or how you kind of know they're going to do something. You can tell a lot from how someone's playing.
But it requires a level of preparation that's well beyond just learning your own notes and your own part.
So, guys, what are we going to hear next?
We're going to play a piano quartet by a woman composer, Louise Hérite Viardot. And again, three movements, the second, third, and fourth movements. And this particular quartet is called Im Sommer, which means in the summer.
Luis Eirit Viardo's Piano Quartet in A Major, Opus 9, titled In Summer, performed by the Garth Newell Piano Quartet. Anything else you'd like to say before you go?
Come see and hear us at Garth Newell Music Center in Hot Springs, Virginia.
We'd love to see you. And if you want to know more information, come check us out at garthnewell.org. All of our events are listed there. You can buy tickets there. You can go to our page and read our blog. We have a Garth Newell Piano Quartet blog. We also have two Facebook pages, Garth Newell Music Center and Garth Newell Piano Quartet. And also we're on Instagram and Twitter. Twitter is Garth Newell Music and in Instagram is Garth Newell Music Center. So check us out on all of those social memes.
Thank you so much for taking the time to come and join us in the studio today.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.